Recording then on the cloud. Okay. Namaste and Hari Om. This is your host, Kishore Trivedi, welcoming you to this episode of Know Your Dharma podcast. This podcast is under the auspices of the Hindu Society of North Carolina, and all the past recordings can be found in the bottom table under the KYD tab of hsnctemple.org. Today, I'm very happy to welcome our guest, Dimple Mahadeshwar. Dimple is a second-generation Hindu-American. I like to call her an American-born, confident Desi. Dimple, please introduce yourself briefly to our audience.
Hey, everyone. My name is Dimple Mahadeshwar, and I was raised in Cary, North Carolina. So I grew up going to the HSNC Temple in Morrisville and really consider it a huge part of my life. I just recently graduated from UNC Chapel Hill in the spring of 2021 and have started work in Atlanta. In my free time, I love to dance, hike, and read.
Wonderful. Dimple, which particular part of Bhagavad Gita that you told me has really touched you?
Yeah. So in my interpretation of the 16th adhyay or chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagwan Sri Krishna explains to Arjun the demonic versus divine nature of humans. So Sri Krishna describes those who give in to their more demonic qualities as those who are drawn to excessive amounts of material and sensual pleasure. They're driven by lust, anger, and envy, and therefore tend to be greedy and judgmental and see the world in black or white. The asura, or demonic people, are often tempted by various desires and are not typically content in where they are in life, which oftentimes leads to constant anxieties. Sri Krishna then describes those who live by their divine nature to be the opposites of these deva asura. They're kind and charitable and have reached a level of internal peace that allows them to see outside of their worldly problems and understand that there is a bigger picture. So they live and worship sincerely and truthfully and have learned to find a good balance in their lives. So when I first started diving deep into the Gita, I was drawn to this chapter because of the ways that I felt like I could apply it to my own life. You know, as human beings going through life, we all have our demonic and divine tendencies, but we can make the choice to act more on our divine nature and to live in a way that can bring peace to ourselves and the world around us. So I'm personally someone who tends to be anxious and I get really easily caught up in the day-to-day. So I like to go back to this chapter when I need to see beyond what I'm concerned about and beyond the day-to-day. I try not to judge or punish myself when I'm acting with my quote-unquote demonic nature, but rather I acknowledge that I am and try to refocus on what actually matters and who I want to be at the end of the day. Additionally, this chapter has made me just overall appreciative of the open and accepting nature of Hinduism. Because in my interpretation of this chapter, Sri Krishna is encouraging Arjun to be someone who recognizes the good in everyone, someone who lives without judging other people or enforcing one's own beliefs on others, someone who understands the world's complexity and who strives to be the best version of themselves while also being content in who they already are. And instead of trying to restrict life's pleasures, I believe that Krishna is emphasizing the importance of balance in life and that you can have those pleasures, but not in excess. So reciting this adhyay and really trying to go back to it when I need it has been instrumental in helping calm myself down and helping me personally deal with my anxieties and to lead a healthier life. It just kind of helps me see the big picture.
Beautiful, beautiful. Can you please recite for our audience some selected verses from the chapter 16 that you like so much?
Yeah, of course. So I will recite the first three verses that kind of go more in depth about what the divine nature kind of is. Atashodashodhyaha Shri Bhagavan Avacha Abhayo Satvaso Shiddhir Jnana Yogya Vivastihi Danam Dhamascha Yajnascha Svadhyayastaparjavam Ayusa Satyamakrodas Tyaga Shantira Paishanam Dhaya Bhuteshvaro Luptam Mardavam Vira Chapalam Tejahakshamakriti Shaucha Madroho Nati Manita Bhavanti Sampadan Devi Mabijatasya Bharata. And again, that's the first three.
Just a minute. Beautiful that you can pronounce this so very well. having born and brought up in US.
Thank you.
I would like to change that ABCD, which is pejorative, to something very positive. American born confident, they see, rather than confused, they see. So would you like to explain briefly those verses?
Yeah, sure. So again, they're kind of going into the qualities that Krishna is describing to Arjun. So, without going too deep into the weeds, it kind of describes different qualities like fearlessness. So kind of detaching yourself from, concern for the present or the future and just really being in the moment and being kind of fearless, having attachment rather than kind of fixating on yourself, just living in the moment and really trying to detach from sin and anxiety and just trying to live that way.
Very good. So actually this advice about dharmic life, in Bhagavad Gita, several places, chapter 13th also, yesterday's talk by Swami Sarvapriyanand concentrated on that. Mm-hmm. And of course in Shikshavali of Taittiriya Upanishad and Yam and Niyam in Yoga Sutra. So it's beautiful that the way you put it in chapter 16th, these qualities of Devic qualities have been described very well.
Yes. Yeah. And so they include a lot of different things. Fearlessness is just one, but it goes on and on. Like respectfulness was a big one that I picked up on. Forgiveness is a big one. Gentleness, modesty. These are all many different of the different character traits that Arjuna is learning about and Krishna is kind of describing. And again, I really encourage kids my age, especially, or kids growing up in the US, to form their own connection with these verses and take the time to kind of learn and read and make their own opinions about them. And we'll get into that. But I think that's just really important, especially growing up here, being able to apply it to your own life, your own beliefs, and the way that you've been shaped as an American born Desi, so that you can be confident in that sense.
Wonderful. So your advice is very good, that concentrate on these three verses, if nothing else, of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, verse 1, 2, and 3. And that gives you a very broad guideline for living a dharmic life, right? Mm-hmm. And it's something that appeals to the modern generation, as per your experience. Wonderful. So please tell us about your motivation that led you to study Bhagavad Gita and especially select these verses.
Yeah, for sure. So when I first started studying the Gita, I think it was became very relevant in my life. I was a senior in college. So, I was looking for a way to kind of get closer with my religion and my identity before I was off to the scary real world. And I just felt like I didn't really know who I was. So my parents suggested that I look into learning the Gita. And so I was like, all right, I kind of just started it as a thing that to appease my parents. And I really didn't think that it was going to help me at all. I honestly thought it was going to be a little boring because I hadn't yet taken the time to connect with my religion in that way. So I remember being confused about what I wanted to do with my life. I was super anxious about the future and starting a job and angry, really, that the fun senior year that I'd been looking forward to for 3 years had been tainted by COVID. So learning the lessons of the Gita really helped me to navigate a lot of those feelings and form my own perspective around the teachings of the Gita kind of helped me understand what kind of life I wanted to lead and how, which was really important as a confused senior trying to figure out who they want to be in the real world. And so now I feel like because of my time that I took to study this on my own, to make that connection, to really understand the meanings and apply them in a way that I thought I could apply them in my life and to live by them in a way, I feel that I'm more internally driven and have formed my own connection with Hinduism that really extends past mindlessly attending pujas with my parents or just kind of doing what I was told. Rather, now I kind of want to, and I'm internally driven by it because of that. So additionally, I also, in my studies of the Gita, I really dove deep into the history of the Gita. And I realized, like, you know, you were saying, like, the ability to be able to say these things in the Sanskrit and my ability to even create my own interpretations and understandings. It's been a privilege to have access to those resources, education, and support that I need to learn the Sanskrit and to also form those opinions and interpretations and understandings of what the passages mean. In the past, false interpretations and teachings of the Gita were used, oftentimes misused by men in power to manipulate and manipulate uneducated members of society, which were usually women, to live by their rules and restrict their actions and beliefs. So after reading about how some of those misogynistic and racist teachings are still being published today, I realized how important it is to increase access to education about the Gita and to encourage those who can to do their own research and form their own perspectives and beliefs. And, you know, that's why I've stressed many times to encourage kids out there that are my age or just interested in Hinduism in some way that, you know, do your research. There's many, many different platforms out there. There's many different readings. You can talk to your parents. You can talk to people at HSNC. And figure out what values align with you and, you know, figure out what interpretations you have of the Gita and how you can live it to the truest and live your own dharmic life, because that's a privilege that we have growing up here and having even things like this radio, having this access, it's not something to be taken granted. And it's something that we, you know, it's, if you can form your own interpretation and you can form your own connection, it's invaluable. And it really changed my life to have this different kind of understanding, connection, and appreciation, honestly, for not only the Gita, but Indian culture and just honestly myself and kind of figuring out what's important to me and, you know, what I prioritize in my life.
Wonderful. But so that leads me to two questions, really.
Yeah.
So one would be that, do we expect all youngsters like you to be able to learn Sanskrit and then form their own understanding of these verses? And there are avenues for doing that for sure. Sanskrit Bharati is one, and you can take courses with Hindu University of America. Some colleges offer courses probably in Sanskrit, but that is a perhaps not as common perhaps than reading somebody's interpretations. And I would suggest that there are beautiful, more modern interpretations. And one that comes to mind that I think will be appealing to young generation, your generation, is by Ekanath Ishwaran. Ekanath Ishwaran was a teacher of English and meditation in Berkeley. And he wrote a three-volume commentary on Bhagavad Gita. And I have gone through several times, and it is very modern, very up-to-date, and very appealing. And so if you are frightened by the possibility of needing to learn Sanskrit, don't be. Eventually, you might do that. But first, you might pick up interpretation of Bhagavad Gita by Sri Ekanath Ishwaran, available on Amazon.com. There are many others which are deeper, if you like Swami Dayanand Saraswati of Arshvidya Gurukulam. And if you want to go much, much deeper, Paramhans Yoganand, you know, the one who wrote Autobiography of a Yogi, he also wrote a two-volume interpretation on Bhagavad Gita. But that is very deep, very deep. So there is a whole range of possibilities. Simple one like Ekanath Ishwaran, then Dayanand Saraswati, and there are many others in between, like Swami Mukundanand, and so on. But I would recommend very highly to young generation going to Ekanath Ishwaran's interpretation of Bhagavad Gita, and then if you get excited, perhaps learn Sanskrit and make your own interpretation.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And 100% agree with all of that. And I think, you know, like I'm definitely not fluent in Sanskrit or anything either. I think the way that like you're saying, I encourage people to kind of look at the interpretations out there and look at, you know, what is there. And even taking someone's interpretation and kind of understanding, you know, this part of this, even if you don't speak the Sanskrit, like, you know, this line means this and this line means this, those are super helpful. And even being like, okay, this person took it to be like, you know, for example, the character take fearlessness, that was in the 16th adhyay that we discussed. That was one of the things that, you know, if you look at a translation, that might be one of the characteristics that Krishna describes, you know? So reading that as like, okay, that's like the translation interpretation, then you can take it and be like, so how does this apply in my life? Like how, you know, how do I, what am I like fearing? What am I fear? Like, what can I be fearless, like fearless about? Or like what, where in my life can this apply kind of is like one way that I think more than trying to direct translate, that is what I would encourage. Yeah.
So yeah, each one takes some parts and develops that further. But I would also like to add a couple of other possibilities. One is that nowadays, I think each university, if we are talking about university students, has some form of Hindu Student Association, Hindu Students Council, Hindu Yuva. So take advantage of that and you can study together. And many universities also have a chaplain, Hindu chaplain, like Duke has. So again, access the resources available to you. And internet provides wonderful YouTube lectures by one of the most famous Swami right now is Swami Sarva Priyanand, who is a resident Swami of Vedant Society of New York. He was here last 2 days and give unbelievable. I don't think there is anybody like him right now. He's wow. The current Swami Vivekananda. And he's all over the place on the internet. You just type Sarva Priyanand and each and every of his lectures is unbelievable. The energy, understanding, breadth, depth of his understanding of modern philosophy, and unbelievable. Yeah. So I would like young people to be exposed to such personalities. And there are many more, but Sarva Priyanand is the key right now. He's the man on the internet. Wow. He's called Internet Swami too.
Wow, so, that's awesome. That sounds super interesting to me. I'll definitely be checking that out.
Yes. So Dimple, do you want to add anything else to this conversation?
I don't think so. I think we covered everything. Just like you said, use your resources if you're interested and just take the time to really learn sincerely for yourself. And it'll really make the world of difference in your life. I really believe that.
And give Dharma a chance. You know, it is a beautiful set of writings. And don't be just guided by simple rituals that you think of Dharma. Dharma is a lot more than that. So Dimple, I thank you very much for taking the time to do this KYD podcast for the Hindu Society of North Carolina. And I congratulate you and your parents in particular to be able to guide you in this very positive direction. I'm very proud of you. And I know your father well. I don't know your mother well enough, but very proud of all of you.
Thank you
once again. Hari Om and Namaste.
Hari Om. Thank you.